Those hymns. Amen. All right. Well, you know that last hymn that we sang came right out of, we're in 2 Timothy, we're going through 2 Timothy, and that came right out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, and that verse is verse 12, which says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." So Paul was confident that the Lord would keep him. You know, what did the Lord Jesus say in John chapter 10? He said that no man could pluck you out of the Father's hand, and no man can pluck you out of my hand. I'm pretty confident that the Lord will keep me all the way till I get home to heaven. Amen. What a blessing that is. There's so many wonderful promises from the Word of God. So we are in 2 Timothy. As I mentioned, we're in chapter 3 now. We've gone through the first two chapters. Now, it was last year sometime when I went through 1 Timothy. But tonight I wanted to talk about, I was trying to come up with a title, but I guess the best that I had was just great resources in perilous times, because we're going to read the signs of the last days. I talked about the last days. The last days, I believe, as he's speaking to Timothy, those were the last days right then in that first century. And I believe these last 2,000 years are comprised together, speaks to the last days. Now, I believe we're on the last part of the last days. I believe we have, I don't think we have a whole lot of time left. I'm not about to date anything. I'm certainly not going to go there. No one knows, but I believe the Lord could come at any time. You know, Israel's back as a nation already back in 1948, and, you know, now we're just looking for the Lord to come. One of the things that I'd heard before is sometimes we can get a little too interested in our disappearing rather than his appearing. And that's not a good thing to fall into. Yeah, we want to be out of here, but you know, we need to realize that God's allowed us to be here for a reason. And so we should just simply, Lord, whenever you come, we're looking forward to your coming, not just for us to get out of here. That's going to be nice, and we won't have to deal with this old nature anymore. There won't be any more sin that we deal with. Eventually in time, we'll have that glorified body if the Lord comes and takes us out of here. Or if we go to be with him in time, we'll get that glorified body. What a great thing that'll be. There's so many wonderful things to look forward to, but let's not lose sight of what God's allowed us to be here for. God has a purpose for every one of us that knows him as Savior. Now, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, then our heart's desire is that we want to see you be saved, and we want to help facilitate that, or be there and answer questions. And we know that it's God that has to work on the heart and show somebody that they're lost, and that convince them of sin and then turn them to the Savior. But he uses people to show them from his word. So that's our desire and prayer for you. If you're here tonight without Christ, we would love to see you get saved. But for those of us that know the Lord, listen, we're looking at, we're looking at things just spiraling downward, aren't we? I mean, things are going not in a good direction. And ever since I've been saved all those years back from 1977 till now, there's times certainly when the church goes forward and we see people getting saved. And I believe that God can do anything that he could always do. I don't want to believe and say, you can't see revival anymore. I don't want to do that to the Lord. God could bring revival wherever and whenever he wants to. And we ought to be praying for that. And I believe there can be times of revival, and we may have that. Now, overall, this thing is spiraling downward. It reminds me, though, about that, where it can have a rise, or it can go in a good direction, just like with Josiah. Now, there was that Babylonian captivity that was not far away. But with Josiah and his reign for those 31 years or whatever it was, God blessed Israel, and they were turning back to the Lord, not fully, but to a good degree. And that was to Josiah's credit, because he sought the Lord, and God blessed that. But in time, it just went back down to a place where what God had prophesied about, and that was that the Babylonians would come in and take Israel captive, and they had that 70-year captivity. Well, we know that this thing is going downward, but that doesn't mean we can't be optimistic and pray that God will do great things before that happens. So, you know, this is a message that I want it to be encouraging. I'm optimistic. That's how I'm wired. But I also want to be a realist, and I see what the Bible has to say. And we are in those last times, and there are things that are unsettling as we look at them. Let's take heart and just look to the Lord. The Lord Jesus said this in John chapter 16 and verse 33, and this was just shortly before he goes to the cross. And in John 16, 33, he says to the disciples, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." The Lord says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so if the Lord Jesus says, "Be of good cheer," then I want to obey that. I want to please the Lord and be of good cheer. And when I see things around me, when I see things happening at a level that I've never seen before in our country, it certainly can be overwhelming and disconcerting and unsettling and all of that. But then we just set our affection on things above, and we look unto the Lord and we just trust Him, because the Lord's always been on the throne. He's not been removed from the throne. Amen? And so there's so much to take heart in. All right, so that peace that passeth understanding, He'll give us that. He will strengthen you and I for the days that are ahead. So with that, let's just take a look here at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll just read the first verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this passage here tonight. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." In the last days, perilous times shall come. So let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you again that we can look into your word. You've given to us a perfect book. Lord, we have the complete canon of scripture, and we're thankful for that. Help us to be, help us to make great use of all of your word, Lord. Help us to study it. Help us to read it. Help us to hide it into our hearts, Lord. Help us to love it with all of our hearts. And Lord, help us to obey it. And Lord, we want to honor you. We thank you, Lord, that you've laid these things out. We know, Lord, that just by looking at the back of the book, what great victory we have. One day we're going to be with you. We'll rule and reign with you, as the Bible says. And we're going to go out into eternity with you. It's so exciting. But Lord, sometimes we can get caught up in the here and now, and it can be overwhelming. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Help us to keep our focus on you. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord, help us to be useful in your hands. Lord, you've chosen to use us as vessels. Lord, we realize that that's really all we are. I mean, we're children of God, and that's a wonderful thing. But it's you who does the work in people's hearts, but you choose to use us. And thank you for that opportunity. So help us to be faithful in the last days that we live in. We don't know how much longer we have, but may we be faithful with all of that. So would you bless tonight? And Lord, I pray again that you'd put me to the side. Help me not to interfere or hinder you in any way. But I pray, Father, that you could work in hearts. Lord, you want to minister. There are those here tonight maybe that need to be comforted and strengthened. There are those of us maybe that need to be admonished, maybe exhorted in some way. Whatever it might be, Lord, we pray, Father, that you'll do your work. And I pray, Father, that if there is somebody without Christ, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus. And so we pray that you'll be glorified in all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." So we are in the last days. I think that that's very, very clear. Again, I believe we're on the back end of this probably 2,000-year period. I don't know 100% sure about all of this, but as I read my Bible, I believe that. So I believe we're just drawing close. And I believe they've been perilous times for many people. Maybe for us Americans, maybe not so much. We've been blessed. We live like kings, don't we? We can have everything that we want. I've talked about that. But you know what? Maybe until now, you know, we're starting to see some things happen, and they're happening at levels that, you know, I mean, these fires, boy, when have you seen fires like that? And I know that there have been fires like that, but we're seeing things happen, whether it's hurricanes and, pestilences, famines, things like that are happening on a global scale that we're not seeing or not used to seeing. They're happening more and more frequent. So we're seeing things that we rarely or really hardly ever saw before. But I think we're looking at a society that is just becoming more and more godless. We know just from those who've given out statistics that there are just less and less people going to church. And you know, I speak about America. I speak about how God used America in these last several hundred years. We're approaching 250 years as a nation. And God did a great work before we were even a nation. God brought forth revival, that great awakening, and God was doing something with what was going to become and what has become a great nation. And God has used America to send out so many missionaries, and God has taken the gospel from this station called America through these last couple of 100 years. And he's used it. He knew where America would lie in the world's history and how he would use it. But over time, we've been watching the dwindling of our country. It's just been, you know, we've kicked God out of all the institutions, haven't we? Back in the early 60s, you know, let's not have the Bible in the school anymore. And all of that, God has been pushed out. And so we've watched a decline. And God's people, really for the most part, we haven't stepped up to the plate as we ought to. And what we ought to be doing more and more is to be praying and to be witnessing and to be living godly lives. And just keep our focus on that and allow the Lord to use us for whatever time that we have. Because there are open doors. There are people that have questions. There are a lot of people out there that are wondering what's going on. And we have opportunity with these open doors to say, hey, look what's going on. I think the Lord's being very, very long-suffering here, and he's giving people opportunity to trust Christ, and so it's giving us opportunities. I'm sure if we had a little bit of testimony time right now, we probably would have some testimonies along those lines. So we're in the last days, and that would be just the point number one. Then I'll just get right to point number two, and that is that wickedness will mount up greatly. And I touched on that already, but wickedness has just been just, you know, abounding more and more. We see that now, and we've seen, again, that in our nation over time. As America goes, it doesn't mean that the rest of the world does that, but because of where God placed and the influence that he's given to this country, it seems that where America goes, the rest of the world seems to follow along to a good degree because of the influences that he's given to this country. Now, these sins that we're going to read about, they have always been. In fact, we'll take a look at them right now. In verses 2 through 5, it says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." So these sins that we're reading about, well, these sins have always been. There's nothing new under the sun. All of these sins that we're reading about that are going to be pronounced in the last days, well, they've always been, but as we take a look at these, as we get closer and closer to the end, they just begin to increase dramatically. And so we see that. I think technology is a big tool that encourages all of this. Technology is a good thing. It can be used for good or for evil. The devil seems to be able to get his hands on that all the time, and he uses it in a bad way. And so, you know, as far as, I'll just use the word technology again. Again, we have opportunities to use it, and there's nothing wrong with that. Again, it's just something that's neutral. It's just a tool. But may we use it for the right thing. You know, the devil likes to take these things and use them for bad. So that's why we've got to be discerning when you pull out that smartphone about where it takes you. because it can take us down a path and into the weeds like no other, probably like no other. And that tool, again, that can be used for so much good, we got to be careful about allowing it to take us to places where we shouldn't ought to go. Well, getting back to verse 2, talking about these sins, I won't spend a lot of time on these sins. I mean, we see them, and they are clearly what they are. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. I think, wow, man, as far as where we're at now, that certainly has just become so pronounced. We hear about, you know, this narcissism, and I think that's a, you know, that's a good description of what we see. Oh, that guy's narcissistic. Well, again, that's always been, but it just seems like it's happening so much. People are just so caught up with themselves anymore, and it rubs off on us. You know, I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with, you know, going online, you know, and showing, you know, selfies and all of that. There's nothing wrong with that, you know, as far as, hey, you know, guess what I'm going to cook tonight? I'm going to cook my famous meatloaf. Well, okay, everybody needs to hear about that, right? Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes we can just go so far with things that it's just like it's all about us, and we seem to be our own movie stars, and everybody's got to make their own little films and put them on YouTube and all of that, and so it's like everybody wants celebrity status, and it just seems to be so much more about self, and we as believers got to be careful that we don't allow, that we don't fall into that same trap, because God's not going to use us if we're full of ourselves. The Bible says that He's given us a cross to carry, and that means that we're to die to the old life, and we're to live for Christ. So the last thing that we would want to be is narcissistic, and then, of course, all the things that go with it, with that. In verse 2 and the first thing in verse 3 speaks about, oh, sins of the heart, maybe inward sins. There's covetousness, to be covetous, and boasters, and proud, and blasphemers, and disobedient to parents, and unthankful and unholy and without natural affection. And some of those things, probably a good number of them, we certainly can commit as believers. I mean, I hope that we wouldn't be, there's some certain things there without natural affection. Well, that's going to a place where we should not go. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about, you know, when Paul was writing to the church at Rome, he said some things there about, let me find them. Let's see here. It says here in verse 26, he says, for this cause, because, well, I'll go back one verse. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. And I believe this is speaking about the lost who have turned their backs on God. It says, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That's lesbianism right there. That's women with women. And then it goes on to say, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. It's just vile as it speaks about without natural affection. That's crossing a line. That's going to a place where someone becomes reprobate. We don't know where that line is. Sometimes just God just says, no, they're of a reprobate mind. I won't even speak to them anymore. Listen, you and I know that, listen, if it wasn't for the grace of God, who knows where we would be. And the last thing that we would ever want to be is to be condescending of those who are in these sins. We ought to have a heart for them and try to win them to Christ. We ought to have a love for, whether it's somebody that's caught up in homosexuality or lesbianism or all this transgender junk. It's wicked. It's right out of the pit of hell. We ought to reach people for Christ. I think it's good for us to hate the sin, but to love sinners. I think that's what the Lord would want us to do. But yeah, the Bible speaks about all of these. Disobedient to parents. Well, that's just not a good thing. I don't want to camp on all of this because there's some things I want to get to, and we'll end up going a little bit later than probably we need to. But let me just say this. Disobedient to parents. I'm looking at some young people. Well, I've just seen so many young people fall into this trap. All of this woke stuff and of this cancel culture. This, oh, they just cherry pick. Oh, you didn't do this for us. you raised us on goat's milk. That's why I have my problems now. Or this or that. And it's like, it's foolish. Because the woke culture and the cancel culture just comes right from the devil. And it's got, what it's got behind it is there's no forgiveness. The Lord tells us to forgive one another. Listen, we all know as parents, we didn't do we didn't bat 1,000 with how we raised our kids. I know before I ever met my wife, after I got saved, I wanted to meet somebody who loved the Lord, and I wanted to raise a family for Christ. Did that mean I did a bang-up job as a dad and as a husband? No, I made my mistakes, certainly. I know my wife's heart was the same way. She wanted to meet somebody that loved God and that we would raise our family together and we would serve the Lord. And that's what we've tried to do, you know. And there are many that have done that. And yet, sometimes you'll see kids that'll come back as they get a little bit older, and we see it all the time, and they'll say, well, you didn't do this for me, or you didn't do that, but they've swallowed, you know, they got the bite of Dracula on them. They've swallowed a pill that they shouldn't have, and it's just sad to see that. So I just want to say to young people, boy, appreciate your parents. Love your parents. Thank them. Yeah, they haven't done a perfect job if you're still being raised, or those of us that are older, if you still have your parents, you think sometimes, well, yeah, my parents, you know, they didn't do this or that. Well, think about the good things they did. That's what the Lord would want us to do, and thank them for that. Now, I've said before, you know, at least you didn't have parents that, you know, wrapped you up in a gunny sack and threw you in a lake. And if they did, praise the Lord that they didn't do a good job, because you were able to get out of it. Obviously, you're here tonight. So praise the Lord for that. But being unthankful or disobedient to parents or whatever, Lord, man, might we just get our hearts right and just say, Lord, thank you for what you've given to me. And then he goes on to say in the following verse, without natural affection, but there in verse 3, truce breakers and false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And then I'll read traitors, because those verses speak about sins against others, for the most part, about sinning against somebody else. And again, I'm not going to camp on those, but that's what we're going to see. And then what we're seeing more and more in these times that we're living in. And then as we continue to go on, it says there in verse 4, traitors, and then it says heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And especially these last four seem to be pointing toward the sins of pride and presumptuousness that speaks to man's carnal nature. Folks, we're living at a time when Satan is having more and more free reign in our society. As we plummet more and more, and America has lost its moral compass and gotten away from what they once stood for, it's just opening the door for Satan more and more. And the Bible speaks about strongholds, and we're seeing that happen. And so we as believers, we've got to fight against that. I don't mean physically fight, but we fight through prayer and through being righteous and godly and telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. But probably mostly just praying and looking unto the Lord for all of that. So with that being said, that's how things are kind of shaping up as we look to where we're at right now. And I'm just going to get to this third point, which I've got most of it here. And that third point says the increase of wickedness is going to test believers. The increase of wickedness that we see is going to try you and I. And it's kind of really what I want to get that's the point I want to get to in this message tonight, is it's flat out going to test every one of us. Now in verse 6, we read here, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust. So Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's warning him about evil men that would potentially try to slip or creep, as it says, using the word creep right there. This is the same sort of individuals that it's just described, that would creep into houses and which would lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust. And so Paul is trying to warn Timothy about, listen, the same way that that vile and wicked men would creep into a house and take advantage of a silly woman, there are those that are going to try to slip into the church. There are those that are going to try to worm their way in and potentially seek to corrupt the church. And so he's warned Timothy of that many, many times. In Acts chapter 20 and verses 29 and 30, that's a good passage to turn to. The Apostle Paul was on the third missionary journey. He's wrapping it up. He's going through Ephesus, and he's going to meet with the pastors or the elders of the Ephesian church and maybe any other surrounding churches that there may have been, but certainly with the church at Ephesus and some elders there. And he speaks to them, and it says here in verses, let me go back to verse 24. I'll read 24 through 30. He says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And he says this, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, and he hath to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, this certainly speaks to me as a pastor because of what God has allowed me to be a part of, to be a shepherd, an under-shepherd. And so he's speaking to them. And then he says here in verse 29 and 30, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." So Paul speaks about, as time goes on, he says, "I know this will happen, and you're to be aware, and you're to be on the alert and in prayer, because these things are going to happen, and you need to keep your sights set on it." You know, as a pastor, I know that God has spoken to me. I try not to be cynical. I don't want to be that way, but sometimes, you know, I've seen people come and visit the church. Sometimes a couple of guys will show up. Some of you probably remember, they'll come and they'll just come into the service. They don't talk to anybody. They just stand there. It's like, what are these guys up to? You know, it just doesn't seem right. You know, they're standoffish. They hardly even want to acknowledge themselves. It looks like they're taking a report of some kind. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to read into it, trying to just be as friendly as possible. But sometimes you see some things and you wonder. But then sometimes, you know, there's some things that kind of do an end around on you, and you didn't even see it coming. It's like, I never would have guessed that. I never would have figured that of that person. And so sometimes it's maybe obvious, maybe not so much at other times. But one of the things that we certainly should be praying always is, Lord, this is your church, but give us wisdom and discernment about, you know, who's here. And we pray for them. And I'm not trying to, again, I don't want you to think I'm suspicious of, no, but I'm looking to the Lord and say, Lord, I want, that's one of my prayers, and the men know that. It's brought up a lot in prayer meeting, is, Lord, please bring into this church who you want to be in this church. Now, it's exciting as a pastor. Oh, wow, great, you know, folks are coming, that's great. But, you know, I've seen it too many times where a pastor maybe gets a little bit flattered and, oh, yes, come be a part of this church. And then it ended up being the undoing of that church because, again, I don't have the time to go into some of these stories, but it's important to have some discernment, to do some spiritual vetting and asking the Lord, please give me wisdom, because I want this, I want your church. It's your church, Lord, and we have the opportunity to be a part of this church. It is a great blessing, isn't it? It's great to be in church. I always hear somebody preach, Brother Gipp, he's always saying, isn't it great to be in church? It's just wonderful to be in church, and we take it for granted, but what a blessing. And so we see, as he speaks to those Ephesian elders, that's going to come. And he says there in verse 7, as we get back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, he speaks about these men that creep into houses or would creep into a church. He says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So he says that they are men who are always learning, but they never find the truth. Now, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Jesus is the truth. And those that are in this category, they have no interest in the things of God. They have no interest in the things of Christ. So often they're highly educated because it speaks to that. It says that they're always learning. And you know, we live in a time right now that, again, that can rub off on us. You know, you can Google anything and you can get a lot of knowledge just from the internet. And sometimes that can have a tendency to puff us up. The Bible speaks about knowledge puffeth up. Now, the Bible talks about having the right kind of knowledge. You know, what does it say in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's the right kind of knowledge, the Bible knowledge, knowing the Lord and knowing Him more personally. But then there's also that knowledge of just knowing a whole lot. And it seems like this generation, and I'm not going to just go with all the young people, but it seems like this generation, just because we have knowledge right at our fingertips, it has a tendency to puff us up. And it has a tendency to make us a bit more arrogant and that we know all things. I'm not saying we've all gone down that road, but there's a tendency to that. Amen? It certainly is there. And I think that's a part of some of the things that we see. So they're highly educated, full of themselves, that Paul is speaking of, these individuals. And they're totally without God. It says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 22, we were just reading in Romans chapter 1, but just before that, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? They became fools. They became fools. They think they know so much. And listen, we always seem to, you know, oh, what do the experts say? And we have so many experts. When it went to the pandemic, I'm not even going to name names. There's just people that just, oh, well, this is the way it's going to go. And it's like, there's just so much pompousness. There's just so much arrogance. It's, you know, I would have appreciated maybe somebody's approach, like, well, listen, we've studied a lot, we know some things, but we don't know how this is all going to play out. If there was a little bit more humility and all that, I might have gone, okay, I appreciate their approach. But some people just want to, you know, they want to just showcase all of their learning and tell us all about how it's all going to play out. And it's like, listen, only God knows how it's all going to play out. And we got to be careful about not trying to sound like so expertise on things. We really should, because we don't really know anything. I mean, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't study the Word of God and know it. Okay, I'm not saying that. But I think that we've got to be careful with all of that. You know, we lift up people with those degrees and all of that. Listen, I'm not trying to poo-poo all of that, but sometimes you look, oh, PhD, PhD, and then you look a little closer and you go, post-hole digger? Man, I thought it was a little bit more than that. All right, so I'm not trying to squash all of the degrees and all of education, but I like what Bob Jones Sr. said. He said this a long time ago. He said, education without salvation equals damnation. Education without salvation equals damnation. That's a great quote. When we think that we're something, boy, we've gotten way out of place, and we're not where God would want us to be. And also he continues on speaking on this same line here as you get to verse 8. It says in verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres, now these are the men that withstood Moses. If you go back to Exodus chapter 7, that's where you'll find it. These men are not named in Exodus chapter 7, but we find out their names here. And these were the men when Moses put down his rod and it becomes a serpent, and then the magicians throw their rods down and their serpents as well. And I love what took place, because it says Moses' serpent swallowed up theirs. That was great. But there's men that withstood Moses, and those men are now named here in the New Testament, Jannes and Jambres, and they withstood Moses, so do these also, and he's speaking about those in the previous verses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And so again, he uses the example of these two magicians who withstood Moses because they resisted the truth. The Bible says that they were corrupt, they had corrupt minds, and they were reprobate. I think about people that I come across that just, it just smacks of that when some people that you speak to. You know, we'll go out door to door, and there's a lot of people that don't have an interest in what we talk about, but you know, we live in North Idaho, and there's a lot of people that go to churches, and there's just a lot more cordialness, if that's the right word. People are a lot more friendlier. I mean, I did a lot of door-to-door in Southern California and then Southern Idaho and the Boise area for so many years, and then now we're here, and there's a lot of just nice people that are up here. But sometimes you come across, you know, Brother Reg and I had the opportunity going out knocking on doors yesterday, and we came across some people that were just like, nope, I have no interest at all. I don't want to hear about it. It just kind of smacks a little bit of they just resist the truth. I don't want to hear any of this at all. And it's a bit of that, you know, I know so much. Kind of that's how it comes across. And I'm not going to judge somebody's heart, but that's just kind of the impression that you get. And there's just a lot more and more of that. People seem to think, oh, I know what's best. And what does the Bible say? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And there are so many that just seem to think they know the way. And sometimes we have opportunity to bump into some folks like that. And listen, I'm not about to say, oh, wow, we're just like, you know, without any sin. No, listen, we all fall into pridefulness. I certainly know that. I have an old nature that I don't like to admit it, but there's times when I operate through the old nature and I can become prideful or that I know best, and I have to just humble myself to the Lord and say, forgive me, Lord. I don't know why I just figured I knew what was best in that situation. Forgive me. So let's not think that we can't fall into those things. Certainly we can, even as believers. But then he goes on to say here in verse 9, he says, but they shall proceed no further. That's great news. For their folly shall be made or shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. The promise is from this verse is that their days are numbered and short-lived. And that's good. Job chapter 20 and verse 5. And that was a man by the name of Zophar who was speaking to Job. But one of the things he said, which is true, he says, the triumphing of the wicked is short. It lasts just for a little while. It's like a fireworks show. It can be on display, and wicked people seem to be, you know, just celebrating and rejoicing, but their time is short, folks, and it's limited. But unfortunately, they can hang around long enough to do serious damage in a church, in individuals' lives, to a country. But then again, folks, you know, it just takes a thief a little time to do great damage. And so, you know, that's what he's speaking of here. Listen, their time is going to be short. He said, they'll proceed no further. Their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But still, they can do an awful lot of damage. And well, let's be mindful of that as well. Lord, this is your church. Would you protect it? Because I've seen it too many times. Somebody comes in or there's some backbiting going on, something that's happening that even a pastor's not aware of, and then there gets to be some schisms, and that's where little factions start to happen in a church, and that's where, you know, you start to see some divisions and things start to crack, and all of a sudden you've got a split, and it just happens. It's happened so many times in churches. So may we be aware of that. May we all be living as a godly walk with the Lord and to spot some of those things and to catch them where you see them beginning to sprout, because that's where it should be a unified effort. Amen? It really should be. So what is needed, and we're going to see it in these next few verses, and I'll go through them kind of briefly too, because I want to get to that main point tonight. But what is needed, and in our individual lives as well as in the church, is the disciplined, focused, and godly life that chapter 2 spoke of. Now, chapter 2 is a chapter where Paul was writing to Timothy. Obviously, the Spirit of the Lord is the one that inspired the writing of the Word of God, but he uses Paul, and Paul has a heart toward Timothy as well. It's not like Paul is, you know, unconscious as he's writing this. His heart is in all of this as well. And he is exhorting Timothy. He's exhorting Timothy to keep his eyes on the Lord. He's a young man. And one of the things, that's one of the things he has against him. It just seems like youth has a struggle because a lot of, you know, a young man gets into a church and a lot of older folks look at him, and sometimes they'll have a disdainful attitude toward him. Like, what does this young guy think he is talking to us that way? But that's why God said, or that's why Paul had told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. You know, but be thou an example to the believers. And he goes on there in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 about the things that he's to be an example of. So how important it was about just being faithful wherever God has called you, whatever age you're at. But here in chapter 3 still, and we look at verses 10, 11, and 12, the Lord is going to show us. Oh, again, yeah, pointing to chapter 2. That's what I was referring to. In chapter 2, Paul is really exhorting Timothy to take everything that he does to rise to a high level, to take it to, you know, going after it. Leave nothing on the floor, Timothy. Do your best. You know, like Ecclesiastes 10:9 says, or 9:10, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. He speaks to Timothy about being a soldier for Christ in the first part of chapter 2, about being a good soldier, one that will endure, one that will be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then those next verses that we covered, we talked about, and what we see is striving for excellence, running a race and being faithful. Like it says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So he tells Timothy, do the right thing, but strive, and strive to do your best. And then he goes on to tell him about how God will reward. He'll give crowns. And be faithful to serve the Lord so that he might bless you and use you and crown you. Not so that, oh, look what I got. You know, again, as I said before, if God does give us a crown for faithfulness, you know what we're going to want to do? We're going to want to take those crowns and just give them back to him, because he's worthy. And it shouldn't even be about us. But he says to Timothy, go and be faithful, and I'll give you a crown. And then he speaks about that last part when we read about being a vessel unto honor, about being a chosen vessel. He says, Timothy, be a vessel unto honor. And so that whole chapter speaks to about just doing your best, about being excellent in everything that you do. You remember, I gave you that quote from Vince Lombardi. And Vince Lombardi said this. He said, perfection is unattainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence. That's a good quote. Let's go and shoot for the stars and live for the Lord as much as we can. We're not going to be perfect, but we'll do well that way if we'll just please the Lord and seek his face. And so Paul is led to write this, and I know it's him using himself as an example. Paul was never that. I think Paul was like, do you have to use me as an example? Paul was always trying to put himself, you know, to the back row. But the Lord said, no, you've been a faithful example. And so he says here in verses 10, 11, and 12, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, my purpose, my faith, or faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, and also persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, with what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So Paul is being led by the Lord to set forth his own life's example, because that's what he was all about. He's now in the Mamertine prison in Rome, and he's writing the last book that he's ever going to write, the last epistle. And to Timothy, he says, you know my own manner of life, and you know my purpose and my faith and long-suffering and charity and patience. Folks, we ought to have a life, and not that we want it to go on display. And again, that's not what Paul was about, but that's what the Holy Spirit wanted him to write. But there ought to be something in our life that has an influence on other people. People should say something at our funeral. Everybody is wanting to say something. It should be something more than, well, he was a good whistler. He could play checkers like nobody else. I mean, there should be something about our lives. There should be that man was a godly man. That woman was a godly woman that loved the Lord, that loved the Word of God. And she was faithful. When the church doors were open, she was there, and she told others about Christ. There ought to be some things said about us along those lines. Amen? And Paul puts forth his example, and then he talks about the things he experienced. In verse 11, the persecutions and the afflictions that he suffered, and he brings up a few of those cities or towns that he experienced those trials and the persecutions, how he was able to get through them, obviously, by the grace of God. He said that it was the Lord that delivered me out of them all. And then he goes on to say in verse 12 about how everyone that lives for Christ, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we commit to the Lord, there's going to be some suffering of some sort in our lives. There's just going to be challenges. Because one of the things that you and I do is when we live for Christ, the devil has got his crosshairs on you automatically. He looks at you and he thinks, oh yeah, you're going to live for Christ. Well, let's just see. And the devil's looking to bring something your way. He has to run it through God, but the Lord allows him to, I believe it's that Job scenario. And if Satan can, can you let me have Adam? It seems like you bless them so much. No wonder they serve you. All right, go ahead and have Adam, but you can only do so such and such. I believe that's how it goes. And the devil is allowed to throw some trials our way. Life has enough of its own trials, but I think sometimes there's some that the enemy comes after us, because the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so they'll come after you. But you know what? That's good. It's a good thing. I mean, maybe our first reaction is, I don't want that. I'd rather just kind of do my own thing and stay away from all of that. You're just going to bring your own problems on yourself by just living a selfish life. It's going to be a whole lot worse, because you won't have that fellowship with the Lord that you'll have if you walk with Him. And yeah, you're going to go through some trials, but God will give you great grace. And you'll be able to get through it. Brother W.T. talked about, is the joy in your life real in Sunday school? The only way that you can have that is when you or I live for Christ and walk with the Lord, and then there's something that just goes on in our life. There's a joy. And you might be going through it, and you might be having some of the worst trials that you've ever had in your life, but if you're walking close to the Lord, you've got joy in your heart. And the Bible says you'll have a peace that passeth understanding. It's beyond comprehension. You cannot even fathom it, but you go, praise the Lord. I know I'm going through a whole lot. And there's a whole lot out there that I haven't even, there's things that are being weighed in the balances, and I don't know how it's going to play out. And I'm not sure if I'm going to lose my job. And I don't know about my health. There's some tests I'm taking right now. But yet I've got a peace. And God can give you and I that peace. It's His promise. And He does. Amen? He does. As we simply look unto Him. And then he goes on to say here that to Timothy, but evil men, in verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, that's just part of how it plays out. I mean, again, there are doors that are opening up more and more for the devil. You can just see it. If your eyes are open, halfway open, you see that the devil is getting his hand on a whole lot. And it's just right before us. And evil men shall wax worse and worse, and they'll be seducing. And it just seems as if the devil has gotten into the house now, and he's just trying to wreak havoc to a level he's never been able to do before. But again, this is opportunity for us to simply realize that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil is a loser. But for now, you know, he's trying to create problem after problem for you and for me in our lives. Now, with all that being said, I want to move ahead, and I'm going to go back over this as we go into chapter 4, but I'm going to jump ahead because I want us to see some things with all that's taking place and the pressures of wickedness that are abounding, that are increasing. It'll cause us as believers to, you know, maybe to go one of two ways. And I hope it goes one way for us, that we'll just keep our eyes on the Lord as a good soldier, and we'll just walk with the Lord, and he'll take us through these things. Or else there's another alternative here. And so we turn to chapter 4, and in verses 3 and 4, I hope that we'll be a part of those who will stay in the fight. But there is an alternative, and that alternative is right here in I'll just read verse 2, because this is what he says to Timothy about the Word of God. He says, "Timothy, preach the Word. And be instant in season, out of season, whether you feel like it or whether you don't. Be faithful to preach the Word and stay at it. Stay in the book." And he says, "Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And then he says this, "For the time will come," it will come, Timothy, "when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Now, this is not a knock on teaching, because it's important as a pastor to teach and to preach. You watch the Lord Jesus, and he taught many times over and over. And there are many times he preached. And I think that there's a good balance between the two. And I won't get into teaching and preaching and all of that, all that they... everything that is meant by preaching and teaching, but there needs to be a good balance on those. But there are those who are going to turn away from the preaching of the Word of God, and they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, things that they want to hear. Oh, scratch that itch. Oh, that feels good. That sounds so good. There are people that don't want to hear forthright truth. And that would be believers. I mean, now you can put some lost people in there. I'm sure there's a mix of both. But we're still certainly talking about those that I believe have come to trust Christ as Savior. And they just haven't gotten grounded. And they've gotten away from the things of God. I know a lot of believers and brothers and sisters in Christ, just from testimonies that I've heard through the years, that they've said to me personally, or that I've heard them give a testimony in the church about how they got saved 30 years before, and they began to walk with the Lord, and then they got away, and they just got away from the things. A lot of times that happens with youth. A young person gets saved at the age of 6, 7, 8, and they're excited about the things of the Lord, and then their teenage years, they wandered far away from the Lord. And then God brought them back. And they will tell you, "Oh, no, I knew I was saved, and I knew God was there. It's like I knew God's hand was on me when I was off doing the things I shouldn't do. And God was there and just slowly brought me back, and he was just very patient with me." I've heard too many testimonies in that regard. And I'm not about to discredit that. Oh, you're wrong. No, I believe that. And I believe we can get away. I certainly believe we can get away from the things of God. We get away from this book, and we allow the things that happen in our life to just consume us. And we get caught up in all of that, and we begin to just get discouraged, and we get away from that book, and that's the recipe for not good things. That doesn't bode well for us. We find ourselves away, and I don't need to go to the church, and I just need to find solace in this or in that, and I'll just go on a hike, or I'll go to the bottle, or whatever it might be, and Yet those are the wrong decisions to make. The best decision for us is just simply get back to the Lord, get on our face and say, Lord, help me. I know I've gotten away from you, but I know you're still my Lord. And I want to get things turned around. And I know I'm probably preaching to the choir here. You're all here on a Sunday night, but we can get there, folks. And we see here, as it says, that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And I've talked to a lot of young people. We were at Treasure Valley Baptist Church, and man, I love Pastor DeMichael. What a great pastor. He's my pastor. And I've seen a lot of young people who got saved. And Brother Peterson will say the same thing. And over time, something happened, and they just got away. And then they just got on social media and began to just start, trashing their parents and trashing the church and all of that. And it's like, what happened? It makes you even wonder, did they get saved? Were they really saved? You wonder. I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, they all got saved. I don't know. The Bible says the Lord knoweth them that are his. I hope they're all saved, but they're not in a good place. They're in a place where they're just trashing people, and they did this to me, and that happened, and this wasn't the perfect, scenario as far as the church and all. Nothing's perfect in this life, but praise God, man. I'm so thankful for churches that stand for what's right, and I'm so grateful for Treasure Valley Baptist Church and for any church that preaches the truth. So, but some have gotten themselves there. I think about what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, because he goes along the same lines when he says in verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, this is 1 Timothy 4, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron. Now I know this, that I've talked to a number of people that got saved, that I believe got saved, were serving the Lord, leading people to Christ, and they got totally away, and they say they don't believe the things that they were raised to believe. I go, how is that possible? I mean, I understand, like, by the grace of God, I certainly cannot, that could happen to me as well, so I'm not trying to put myself up here, not at all. But I think, I just listen, and I go, man, are you still that same young person that I remembered way back in the day? What happened to you? How did you get, I use the word hoodwinked. How did you get so disillusioned? How could you have gone that route? Paul said the same things to the church at Galatia. What happened to you? How could you be, I'm trying to think of the word, bewitched. Yeah. You've been bewitched. The devil has thrown something on you, and you're blinded, and you've turned away from the grace of God, and you've fallen from grace. And I don't think he's talking at all about you've lost your salvation. He says you've just taken grace, and you've kicked it to the curb. And now you're trying to live your own Christian life on your own merits and on your own energy. That doesn't work that way. But again, I get back to a number that I've talked to or I've heard about. It's like, really? I remember that young gal that, man, she was just, Lord was using her, and now she's gone off and doesn't even want to claim that she's a Christian. It's sad. And so what I'm saying is, listen, folks, we could go there. We could be there. There are some things that I think we just need to take to heart, and that is to keep our eyes on the Lord, to walk with Him. To walk with Him on a daily basis, and to love the Lord. I think I'll just give you the three things, and these are things I'll still go over, but I've jumped ahead to just pull some of these things out to kind of wrap up the point that I wanted to make, and that is with the increase of the wickedness that we see, it has an effect on us. But will it take you a wrong direction, or will you look unto the Lord and allow Him to root you and ground you in the things of Christ so that you'll go forward and that you'll be used by the Lord. That one day the Lord will, I want Him to say this of me, and I know every one of you want Him to say this of you. Don't you want to hear those words from your Savior's mouth? at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, we stand there, our sins have already been judged. They were judged at Calvary, where Christ died for our sins. So we're not going to have to give an account for our sins, but the Bible talks about we will have to give an account of how we lived our Christian life. And when he goes through all of that, and I sure hope that I've allowed him to work in my life, and I pray that, like Paul said, the Lord's helped me to become a wise master builder, that he's helped me to build with gold, silver, and precious stones, because they're all going to be tried by the fire. But all those other materials, the wood, hay, and the stubble, are things that we did for ourselves. And they're going to burn up in that judgment before the Lord. Now, don't you and I want to hear from the Lord, as I was just starting to head down that road? Don't you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You kept your eyes on me, and I used you, and I helped you to endure all the way through. I helped you to become a soldier for me as you looked unto me." And I think these things are so crucial. I kind of leapfrogged a couple things, and I'll just go back to them just real quickly as we finished up with these last three things. Some great resources, and that's kind of what I titled this whole message, some great resources in these perilous times. Great resources that need to be seen in our life throughout our lives. At the end of chapter 3, he talks to Timothy about Timothy. He says in verse 14, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Timothy, continue on with the things that you've learned. You know, I envy some of you young people. You've been raised in Christian homes. You're still in Christian homes. Listen, again, not everything's going to be perfect. You don't have perfect parents. We're all sinners saved by God's grace. But praise the Lord, you've learned a lot. And you need to embrace those things. But so do we as well, those of us that are older. We need to embrace the things that we've been taught and continue on in those things. God has revealed numerous things to every one of us. There are things that we've gotten a hold of and, oh man, that meant so much to me. That particular verse and chapter in the Bible, all of those certainly, but also some other things that people imparted unto me, some wisdom that came from the Word of God that they gave to me. And I've taken it, and it just has meant so much. And Paul is telling Timothy, continue thou in the things that you've heard, that you were raised with. He had a godly mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. And he says, Timothy, you've come from a great, you have a great legacy. You have a great heritage. Be thankful for the things that you've learned from your mom and your grandmother. And take those things and value them. And let those be things that just take you forward from day to day. And so he says that to him. And then we read verses 15 through 18, which again, we come right back to this. He says that from a child in verse 15, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, there's a lot in God's word that I look at as a pastor and I go, I don't know. I can't make hide nor hair of that. I don't know. Lord, would you give me some wisdom and discernment? I don't know exactly what that means. There's a lot. Brother Peterson, I look to you. Brother Jordan, who's pastored so long, I'm sure there's some things that probably befuddled you, and you go, I don't know exactly what to make of all of that. We certainly have come across those things, but I'm so grateful when it came to salvation, the Lord made it simple that even a child could understand. Even a child could understand. All my kids at early ages came to trust Christ as Savior, some a little earlier than others. Some of them, our oldest daughter was inquiring at age 4. She was getting toward 5, but it's like, my wife and I are like, she's so young. Does she really understand it? And we're praying, Lord, she's wanting to get saved, but we want her to understand what sin is. And all. And she just was so insistent in a good way. And we looked at each other and said, I think she understands. And to this day, you know, many, many years later, she goes back and says, no, I knew, and I clearly know when I got saved as a young 4-year-old, almost 5. You think, wow. But the Lord, isn't it great that God spoke to Timothy's heart and he used those scriptures to bring him to Christ? Those wonderful scriptures that ought to be hidden in our hearts. And then he goes on to say, Timothy, you're a young man now preaching the word of God. And he says, all scripture in verse 16 is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And you know, as I said, when we first got into 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, that it's easy if you're not a pastor to go, oh, I'll just check out of this because this is meant for pastors. No, God in his wisdom allowed this to be written to a young pastor, but it can be so applied to everyone, whether you're in the ministry or not. And so what's spoken to Timothy about the Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable in so many ways. Boy, may we understand that the Word of God is so profitable in our lives. Let it be hidden in our hearts. We've got to go through the day and seek to dwell upon it and think about the Word of God, because it's through the Word of God that God does just incredible things in our life. And so don't minimize it, boy, but accentuate it in your life and in my life as well. Embrace the Word of God. And then the last thing is this thing about preaching the Word. Yes, it's so important to teach it, and I'm certainly all about that. But preaching the Word of God, they're just, you know, I've heard enough through the years about, you know, preaching the Word of God. Oh, sometimes I just have a hard time hearing the preaching of the Word of God. Well, maybe that might be because there's something in your life that needs to be taken care of. You know, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I think it's verse 20, where it says, despise not prophesyings. And prophesyings is preaching, proclaiming. And let me just say this, that sometimes you hear the preaching of the Word and it seems as if the Lord's just like, you're the only one that's being spoken to. You ever felt that way? I felt that way many times. I feel like I'm sitting in the pool of my own spiritual blood, like, man, this thing is just cutting me to pieces. The Word of God is just having its way with me. But that's a good thing if we don't despise it. If we look at it and say, Lord, I need to hear that. My heart hasn't been right. I need to hear those things, and I need to have it put right into my face. And the Lord uses preaching. The Lord uses certainly teaching. Again, I don't want to minimize that, but the Lord uses preaching. And I think sometimes we might get to a place where we despise prophesying. We don't want that. We want God to speak to our hearts. And God will expose things. He certainly will expose it as we read it on a regular basis, but he'll certainly reveal it to us also through preaching. And so those are the things that I wanted to bring forth. I kind of wanted to lead to that, those resources that will help us in these perilous times. Continue on with the things you've learned and the things you've been taught, as long as it lines up with the Word of God, of course, and then embrace the Word of God. Love the Word of God. And then preach the preaching of the Word. Don't despise it. I'm in another position with that, as I'm somebody who gets up and opens up the Word of God, but may we all embrace the preaching of the Word of God. With that, let's go ahead. We'll bow our heads and we'll go before the Lord in prayer in just a moment, but maybe the Lord's spoken to you tonight. Listen, we don't have a crystal ball. We can't look ahead. We don't know how things will play out in our life. I've seen a whole lot of carnage, unfortunately, and people that look like casualties that once we're doing well, and man, I don't want to think that, oh, that can never happen to me. I think that's foolish. But I think we just need to look to the Lord and ask the Lord for his grace. Help us each day. Lord, help us when we go through trials and difficulties that we wouldn't be tempted to point a finger at the Lord, that we would understand that God knows best. He understands what happens in our lives. And that we can look unto him for his strength and for his grace. We heard that earlier this morning when we looked at Hebrews chapter 4, that we can go to the throne of grace and that he'll give us grace and mercy to help in time of need. God's so good to do that. It's easy to become bitter. I've gone down that road. Maybe you have as well. But it's just good to just say, Lord, I don't want to go down that road. That'll sideline me. That'll make me a castaway in so many ways. You can't use somebody that has bitterness in their heart. But you can't use somebody that has a lot of things that they're holding on to in their life. Lord, help me. The sins of this world are just growing exponentially. The Bible says, and we know that the whole world lieth in wickedness. That's just not a surprise, but let's not let it become a part of our lives. Let's walk with the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to help us to go forward. Help us to finish our race. That's that theme that we just had this last year. Finishing the race. Doing what's right. That ought to be our continual prayer. Lord, help me to finish well. If you're here tonight without Christ, we would love to see you get saved. We would love to show you from the Bible how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so with that, let's just pray quickly, and then we'll have a hymn of invitation, and just let the Lord do what he wants to do in our lives tonight. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, forgive me. I looked at all those notes, and I don't know how well it got expressed, but I pray, Father, that you've been able to do something, speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to walk with you each day. Help us to continue in the things that we've learned. Lord, help us to embrace the Word of God. Help us to love the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Lord, help us to have a humble spirit before you. And that when you point some things out in our life, help us to respond and do what's right. We want to be used by you. Help us in that way. And Lord, if there's somebody here without Christ, I pray you'll work in their hearts and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ today. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.